From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. Movie studios are probably years off from building sound stages in Las Vegas, but local filmmakers are still creating work, and two of them are making some big splashes in the industry. Julia Marchese has adapted a short story by Stephen King, and that movie is streaming online and playing in festivals. And director-writer J.T. Molnar has a critically acclaimed movie playing in theaters nationwide. Local film writer Josh Bell interviewed both filmmakers for Desert Companion, Nevada Public Radio City Regional Magazine, and State of Nevada producer Mike Pravat recently talked to Josh. Here's that conversation.
Hi, Josh. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We should start talking about J.T. Molnar and his new film, Strange Darling. It's playing in 10 theaters in Las Vegas as we speak, and more than 1,000 across North America. It was put out by Miramax, which 30 years ago put out Pulp Fiction. It's already grossed north of $1 million in North America. How unique or remarkable is such a circumstance or success for a Vegas-born or Vegas-based filmmaker?
Certainly getting a movie released in this wide a scope in theaters, as you were just saying, by a major company. And the movie itself, it has a decent sized budget. It's not a studio blockbuster, but it has recognizable stars. It has a gorgeous look to it. It was shot on 35 millimeter film, which is one of J.T. Molnar's signature things at this point. And it has Giovanni Ribisi, the actor, as the cinematographer, making his debut, which is also getting it a lot of attention. So other than someone like Rebecca Thomas, who comes to mind, who directed the film Electric Children and has done some TV and at one time was kind of poised to do some big Hollywood things, I'm pretty sure that J.T. Molnar is the most successful filmmaker at this point to kind of come out of Las Vegas.
Wow. You spoke to him for the August issue of Desert Companion. How did the journey of Strange Darling go from an idea that he had to national theatrical release? Like, what's its backstory?
It's interesting because for him, and I think for any filmmaker, he had a lot of different things in the works. He had a lot of different ideas, and any filmmaker is going to take a lot of meetings and have a lot of possibilities that don't go anywhere. And he said that this was something that the idea came to him quickly. He wrote the script the initial version of the script, I think he said in something like a week, and it's stayed fairly well in that form. And it sounds like it was just the right idea at the right time. And whatever else he'd been pushing his way toward or inching his way toward got sort of pushed to the wayside. And this movie, because certain producing partners that he had were excited for it. And I think also because Giovanni Ribisi, who was someone that he had known and bonded with and had been wanting to work with, also came on board, not only as a director of photography, but also as a producer, they were able to get this off the ground pretty quickly. So it's impressive. But on the other hand, the speed at which this came about is in contrast to the fact that it was still 8 years since the last time he made a feature film.
Now, speaking of backstories, you know, J.T. Molnar is an interesting guy. Locals may know him as part of the family behind the long-running Freakling Brothers Halloween attraction. J.T. still helps produce that despite all his filmmaking responsibilities. But there's more to his background, as you included in your story. So how did he go from just being, you know, another Las Vegas kid who really liked movies to being this filmmaker who, as you said, has now garnered a lot of success for a Las Vegas filmmaker?
I think it's the same way that anyone really takes that path. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, he started out making short films and eventually put together some financing to make a smaller scale film called Outlaws and Angels that came out in 2016, which is a Western. And that movie didn't make a huge splash, certainly nothing like Strange Darling, and then spent the next 8 years working at the Freakling Brothers and writing and taking meetings and things like that. So I think it's a lot of hard work. Just like anyone who comes from anywhere and has a dream of being a filmmaker, you go out to LA and you make connections and you write and you cobble together some financing. And I think he's kind of captured lightning in a bottle with this film. It's been so heavily acclaimed and it's gotten a cult following behind it already just from its brief time in theaters. I know he's, even before Strange Darling was released, he's writing the screenplay for a Stephen King adaptation called The Long Walk that he's not directing. Francis Lawrence, who directed the Hunger Games films, is directing that. But clearly, he's managed to get his foot in the door in Hollywood in a big way.
I was excited to read in your interview that Molnar will be adapting the screenplay from that Stephen King novella. It is one of my favorite Stephen King works, and it seems like it's been languishing a very long time in movie development hell. And add that to Strange Darling, and it feels like JT's career seems to be really taking off at this point. And I'm wondering if this and Strange Darling draw more attention to the fact that he's a Vegas-born filmmaker. Do you think in any way that could positively impact the Las Vegas film scene?
I hope that it will. I mean, I know from talking to him that he has a lot of Vegas pride, and he does, as you say, come back every year to work on the Freakling Brothers, even as his career has taken off. And he seems pretty dedicated to continuing to do that. If he mentions his Vegas roots, if he mentions Freakling Brothers in interviews, then I'm sure that's something that people will pick up on. And I would love to see that happen. I don't know if he has connections here in terms of helping other filmmakers. I don't believe there's, you know, sometimes people from Vegas, they'll leave town and make a film somewhere else and bring a lot of crew from Vegas with them. And I don't think that's something that happened with this film. But I know he did say that he has at least one idea that he would love to make here in Vegas. So certainly if he gets the opportunity to do that, I'm sure there'd be a lot of local cast and crew who would be able to work on that. So I hope so. I mean, it's exciting to see someone like him succeed again. It kind of feels to me like when Rebecca Thomas was making the festival rounds with her films and she got signed to make this remake of The Little Mermaid, and it seemed like she was on the cusp of these huge things. And sometimes those things don't work out, but for now it seems really great for J.T. Molnar.
And Stephen King is a good transition point between our two featured filmmakers today. Tell us a story about how Giulio Marchesi was able to make a movie based on a Stephen King story. This is called I Know What You Need, without having to shell out a lot of money for licensing.
Yeah, she was able to be actually one of the last people to be involved in this very long-running program Stephen King has had called Dollar Babies, where he would sell the rights to one of his short stories to a sort of amateur or student filmmaker for just $1. And they were able to make their film under a certain set of parameters. It has to be 45 minutes or under, so it can't be a feature film. Mm-hmm. And it has to only be exhibited for non-commercial purposes. So basically, it can be shown at film festivals and at private screenings, but it can't be broadcast, it can't be released commercially in theaters, and it can't be put online as of the modern way. I mean, when this started, that didn't exist. But it was something that went for decades. Many filmmakers got the opportunity to work on Stephen King material through this, including Frank Darabont, who made an early short film through the Dollar Baby program, and then, of course, famously went on to make the films of The Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile and The Mist, and that's how he first came to Stephen King's attention. So the person who was administering this program apparently, I believe, retired, and so King decided to discontinue it, and I think Giulio's film was like the second to last one that got in just under the wire in this program.
Now, you had mentioned that King gave Marchesi special permission to open up the film to streaming. You know, I take that to mean that he really liked it. And I'm wondering, is this kind of akin to like giving Giulia a big break?
I hope so for her that it is. I asked her because he did have to give her that permission because it's streaming on Arrow, which is a paid subscription service, and it's all done through his proxies. So she said she had never actually spoken directly to him. But one of the parameters for that Dollar Baby program is that you send the film to him because he wants to see it.
Yeah.
So she said she knew he had seen the trailer and said that it was professional looking and good. And she believes, again, because of the implication of getting that permission, that he approves of the film. And she is a massive, massive Stephen King fan, a constant reader, as he calls his readers, has read everything that he has ever written and is the co-host of a Stephen King podcast and is appearing at a Stephen King convention in October. So she was really, I think, excited about the idea that he had approved of her film. And, you know, I hope for her sake that she'll get the chance to talk to him about it at some point.
And I have to imagine, I mean, just in your coverage of films over the years, like, this has got to be pretty rare for especially an author as big as Stephen King to allow young filmmakers such unfettered access to his work. I mean, this sounds like a pretty special, unique thing that you're not going to get out of your, you know, average best-selling author.
Yeah, it really has been. And it's a bummer, I think, that he decided for whatever reason to discontinue the program after this person was no longer involved in running it, because it's given a chance to so many filmmakers. And really, you can have a budget of a few hundred dollars for your short film and get it to be adapted from a Stephen King short story if you can want to participate in this program. And like I said, it allowed someone like Frank Darabont to go on to this really big career. And whether Julia Marchesi will do that or not, who's to say? But it certainly is a leg up. I mean, if you're an independent filmmaker with a little short film and you can slap Stephen King's name on it, it's going to get more people to see it at a film festival. It's going to help you get into those film festivals. And he's done a lot for people like that over several decades now. So I don't know what the future holds for it. I don't know if maybe there'll be some new version of it, but yeah, it's a big deal. And at that convention, that KingCon in October, where Julia will be showing I Know What You Need, there's a whole day or maybe even a day and a half where they're just showing all of these Dollar Baby movies that they're able to show because it's just at a convention. And it's become a huge kind of King subculture.
We should note here, by the way, that Julia is the daughter of Lamar Marchese, who founded Nevada Public Radio. And as far as the movie I Know What You Need is concerned, this is a Stephen King story that I'm actually not familiar with at all. What's it about?
It's a story from 1976, and Julia's version is set in 1976, and it's on the college campus of the University of Maine, which is where she actually shot it and where Stephen King himself was a college student, about a woman who meets a kind of strange young man who is courting her / stalking her and says, I know what you need, and seems to have some sort of intuitive sense of exactly what she wants in a man. And of course, there's some sinister stuff going on as to why he knows that. But Julia presents it again. It's set in 1976, and it has a lot of very good period detail, especially for a movie that was made on a small budget. And she kind of presents it in the style of like an after school special. And so it's this cautionary tale almost of, you know, beware of strange men and what they're offering you. So it has that almost, you know, fuzzy sort of childhood memory feel to it. And I know for her, this was a favorite story of hers. She said that for the Dollar Babies, there is a list of kind of approved stories to choose from. And this was not on the list. But again, in terms of Stephen King being very generous to her, she asked if she could do this story anyway, and he said yes.
As you said earlier, this will be part of KingCon. This is the inaugural convention celebrating all things Stephen King in October at the Link Hotel Casino. Josh, can we add this new event to our local film festival calendar? What's your read on this kind of event?
I don't think it's a film festival in the traditional sense, in that they're not taking open submissions or whatever. They are, as I said, showing, I think, possibly dozens of these Dollar Baby films. Their programming hasn't been fully finalized as of now, but they do have large blocks of time for showing these Dollar Baby films. So it's a film festival in that sense. You can absolutely go there and sit and watch many, many, many short Stephen King adaptations, including I Know What You Need. And I know that Julia will be there on a panel discussion with other Dollar Baby filmmakers. I personally am also a Stephen King fan, so I hope that this event is a success and that it grows and that it's something we can add to that calendar. And maybe in the future, they will open things up in some way to Stephen King-esque films, and they could have a kind of horror film festival or something like that. But as of now, it's specifically focused just on those Dollar Baby movies.
And what do you think of the chances that he actually shows up?
For this year, I don't know. I mean, I haven't spoken to the organizers of the event. I don't know if they're trying to get him out there. And he's not someone who does the convention circuit. But who knows? He is very generous, as this whole Dollar Baby program shows. So if this event sticks around, you never know.
Josh Bell is a local film writer and contributor for Desert Companion magazine. Josh, thank you.
Thanks for having me.